I want to ask you guys a question to start the message, and I want you to think through this now. Was Jesus, if I was to say to you, was Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, was he a giver? Was he primarily a giver or a taker? What would you say? Yeah, I mean, he's the supreme giver, right? Even to the point where he not only just selflessly gave of himself, and the Bible says he said, I don't even have anywhere to lay my head. I mean, he didn't come here to have people serve him and build up a kingdom and riches. He came to serve, to the point where, if ushers, can we help these folks back here? And to the point to where he actually gave his life, his very life on the cross for you and I. He was a giver. There's no doubt about it. Now let me ask you the next question. If Jesus Christ was the supreme giver, if a person is following Christ and they are his disciple and they are walking in a close relationship with him, will they be a giver or a taker? I think so, don't you? I think it stands to reason if our leader is a giver, then his followers are also going to be givers. Now, when you talk about the subject of giving, people are very leery of that subject, and understandably so, because the subject of giving has been misused and has been abused by many church leaders, especially in the last few years. There are church leaders that will attempt to intimidate and scare people into giving. The idea that if you don't give, man, God's going to thump you. I mean, God's going to send a lightning bolt and God's going to get it one way or the other. And then there's other guys that go the other way. They go the other direction and they make big, big promises to people. And they kind of turn giving to God into some blue chip stock that's sure to bring you earthly material gain. You guys have probably seen this on TV. If you've ever channel surfed through the religious TV programming, you've probably seen some charlatan on there and the camera is right in his face and he's saying, if you send me $100, God's going to send you back $1,000. You know, you've seen that, you know. You send our ministry $100 and I know God showed me a vision. God's going to bless you tenfold and you're going to get back $1,000. And, you know, you guys are like me. You know, you just want to pick up the phone, call them up on the phone, say, hey, I got a great fundraising idea for you guys since obviously you need money. Oh, really? What's that? Instead of me sending you the $100 and me getting $1,000, you send me the $100. That way you'll get the $1,000, right? And so send me $100, you know. But, you know, you hear all this tomfoolery and this religious chicanery. And the fact is that church age grace giving is none of those things. You know, you don't have to scare people and intimidate people. You don't have to go around making big promises to people. In your handout is a great statement. It's a key statement. It's at the top of your handout. And it says simply this: giving is the natural and normal response of a person that's in a close relationship with Jesus Christ. It's that simple. You say, really? It's that simple? Yeah. It's just a natural. And I'm not just talking about giving your money. I'm talking about giving your time, giving of your resources, you know, giving of your home when you can to help, you know, to give of your car if somebody needs a ride to church. I'm talking about a variety of ways that we give. But the bottom line is, Christ is our leader. He's the supreme giver. And when I'm walking in a close relationship with Christ, giving is just kind of just a normal part of my life. It's just a very natural thing that flows out. Now, I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, if you would. 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, the Pew Bible page number is 1205. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes here to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And just to kind of let you know what's going on here, the Apostle Paul is basically bragging on the churches of Macedonia. He's bragging on them to the church at Corinth. Look at verse 1 and look what it says. 2 Corinthians 8:1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, they were going through a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. These people were having a hard time. But yet it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You see, what Paul is saying here is that these churches of Macedonia, they had been through going through some really rough times. But yet they had given sacrificially to the offering that Paul was collecting for the poor saints who were struggling at Jerusalem. The key to how they could do this is in verse 5. Look at verse 5 with me. Here's the key. And this they did, not as we hoped. In other words, they did more than we had hoped for. But first, notice, before they ever gave a penny to the offering that Paul was collecting, he says, first, they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Do you know what Paul is saying there? He's saying that their giving was simply a fruit of their close relationship with Jesus Christ. Then he goes on, look at verse 7. He says, therefore, as ye abound in everything. And then he names some areas that they were growing. In faith, utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace, the grace of giving also. He tells them, he basically now, he uses the churches of Macedonia as an example. And then he turns to the Corinthian church, and he says to them, now, let me talk to you. And he says, I want to admonish you and encourage you as you're growing in Christian graces. And he names some of those Christian graces. You know, we're to be growing in our faith and growing in our love, growing in our knowledge. See that ye abound, grow in this grace. Talking about the grace of giving in context. Grow in this grace also. In your handout, it says giving is a grace. It's a fruit that Christ bears in and through us as we walk in total dependence upon Him. You see, giving is a grace. Just like faith, love, knowledge of God's Word, as we grow in those areas, giving is one of those graces, a fruit that Christ bears through us that God says we need to be growing in. Now, in your handout, I want you to get the next statement. It says that giving can easily become a work of the flesh. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Dan, you mean to tell me that a person can give and still not be right with God? Do y'all think it's possible to give and not be right with God? Absolutely. There's probably people all over town this morning that don't even know Christ that are giving. You see, giving can be a work of the flesh for the Christian. For example, it can become a ritualistic law. It can be this thing that we do because we're afraid God's going to zap us if we don't do it, you know, or we do it somehow thinking we're earning God's favor. Giving can become an act of greed. You know, it can kind of be the idea of we approach giving kind of like rubbing the genie, the magic genie in the bottle, and let's rub it and let's see if God will bless us, you know. And so giving kind of becomes like an investment with your stockbroker. You know, we're hoping to get back more from God if we give. And of course, that's just greed. Giving can be an act of pride. You know, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew 6:2, and Jesus told the Pharisees there, he said, you know what? You give that you might be seen of men, that you might have glory of men. In other words, some people can give in order to get attention. So giving can easily become a work of the flesh instead of a reflection of our walk with Jesus Christ. Now, you hear a lot of foolishness, you know. You'll hear people say, well, if you don't give, you know, you're cursed with a curse, the Bible says, and they'll go back to the Old Testament, and they'll use it as a billy club and try to intimidate you, you know, into giving, and you're not going to hear that here at Crossroads. You know, Jesus became a curse for us on the cross to deliver us from the curse of the law. So God's not going to curse you if you don't give. God's not in heaven with a calculator waiting to pounce on you if your figures don't add up. Okay? He's not doing that. Now, you'll hear preachers preach it that way, but that's not the way it is. Now, when you have little desire to give, and again, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about giving to others, giving to your wife, giving to your children, giving to your church, giving of yourself in service. When you have little desire to give, It is indicative of a problem. And what it's indicative of is that your relationship with Christ is not where it ought to be. Because remember, giving is a grace. It's a fruit of our relationship with Christ. So you know what? Hey, more than God's concerned about the numbers that you write on a check, you know, God is much more concerned about his relationship with you. You see, God longs for you to be close to him. And God wants you to look to him as your source of life, as your source of life in everything that you do. When you're walking with Jesus moment by moment and you're resting in him and you're just in love with Christ, you know what? Laws and rules and threats aren't needed to coerce a Christian to give. You know, you don't have to have threats. No, you joyfully give. In fact, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, just go forward one chapter. And I want you to look at a verse there, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. You see, giving is a natural, normal part of the Christian life. Now, I know that a lot of times, because of the way it's been abused, people are like, oh, I don't want to hear anything about that. And you know what? Bottom line is, I don't want anything from you. You can give wherever you want to give. You can give to another ministry. You can give if you've got someone, you know, if you be, you know, you can give wherever you want to give. That's your business. And so I'm not up here asking anything of anybody. But what I'm doing is, just like I preach faith and love and knowledge and grow in virtue and all these things, the Bible does say we're to grow in the grace of giving. So, you know, whether you give here, that's your business. What you do is, that's your business. But I need to preach and teach you this if I'm going to be a faithful minister. Amen. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Now, what's the very first word of that verse? Every. How many Christians should be givers? Every Christian. This is something for everyone. This is a joy and a delight that everyone gets to be a part of. It says, look, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Then he tells you, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? A cheerful giver. Now write that in your handout, okay? I want you to write that in the blank. It says there that you become the cheerful giver. You become that cheerful giver. That cheerful giver. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word cheerful, if you look it up, means merry. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because pretty soon, what are we going to be saying to each other? Merry Christmas. And what do we mean by that? Have a happy, joyous Christmas. Merry Christmas. And that's what the word means. The word merry, it means joyful, happy. God says, I love a cheerful giver. Just like we say Merry Christmas. Can you imagine if it was if it was a tradition during offering time in church, if everybody looked at each other and went, Merry giving. Merry giving. Merry giving to you. You know. And if you look up the word, it literally means hilarious. Hilarious. Now, can you imagine if we were hilarious givers? And that's what the word means. In your handout, let me give you a statement. The idea here is that you don't give because you have to. You give because you what? You want to. That's church age grace giving. You see, law giving says I got to give or else. I got to give or God's going to get me. I got to give in order to earn his favor. But you're not an Old Testament saint. You're not living under the law. Okay? You're not. You are a New Testament church age grace believer. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you 24/7. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. You have the completed Word of God. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. You've got the completed crosswork of Christ and his resurrection to look back upon. And that crosswork and his finished work makes you complete in Christ. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. So therefore, Paul says, you can be that cheerful giver. We give because, not because we have to, but because we want to. And in your handout, I want to give you three things about the attitude of a grace giver. All right, here it is. You ready? Number one, You give out of a love for Christ. That's the first attitude I see, is that we give out of a love for Christ. Now, everybody tell me, what is the word in the blank? What's the word you just filled in? It should be on the screen. Love. You give out of a love for Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8, 8. It says there, Paul said, again, the subject here, remember, he just told him to abound in the grace of giving. Verse 7. Now verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your what? He says, your giving will prove the sincerity of the love that you have in your heart. And that's true. And think about that. Think about this a minute. If I love Denise, if I love my wife, do I need a list of laws telling me what to do? You will kiss your wife when you come home from work. It's a law. It's a rule. You will tell her thank you for the delicious meal, even if it wasn't very tasty. She's a great cook, by the way. All her meals are great. You will hug her at precisely 8 p.m. every night. You will tell her you love her before you go to sleep. You will get on the chair and replace the light bulbs in the ceiling fan. You will help her sweep up the light bulb that she dropped on the tile floor. You will help her do the dishes. By the way, these are all things I did yesterday. It's fresh on my mind. Yesterday was a honeydew day. Honeydew this and honeydew that, right? You guys know, how many of you guys know what a honeydew day is? You know what that is? Well, you know what? But the thing is this. If I love my wife, do I need laws telling me to do all those things? No. If I love her, it is natural to do those things. They are a reflection. Listen, they are a reflection of my love for her. And likewise, in your handout, it says, when you are walking in a close love relationship with Christ, then giving simply proves the sincerity of your love. Look at verse number 24. Everybody skip down there to the last verse. Chapter 8, verse 24. He says, wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches, notice, show them the proof of your love. He's talking about them giving to this offering. He says, show them the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. You see, Jesus Christ was a giver. The Bible says he loved the church and he gave himself for it. He died on the cross so we could go to heaven. If he would not have given to us, would there be a plan B? If Christ would not have willingly given himself on the cross, would there be a plan B? Could we get to heaven? No. He willingly, cheerfully gave of himself on the cross. Well, the Bible says, you know, that famous verse, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And he ends that verse, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ is a giver. And so when his spirit is flowing through me, then it's just natural to want to give. In your handout it says, nobody has to twist your arm, nobody has to guilt trip you. As you fall more in love with Jesus, you look for opportunities to give. Nobody has to scare or intimidate. We don't need some preacher to bully us from the pulpit, bully us around, scare us. No, it becomes natural and it becomes automatic. Number two, the second mark of a grace giver, a cheerful giver, is that we give not only out of a love for Christ, but number two, we give out of grace. Write that in. Number two, we give out of grace. Now, I want you to look up here at the screen for a moment, and I want you to notice the cheerful giver, which God says he loves, according to the text. Number one, I give out of a what? Love for Christ. Number two, I show my love for him concretely in this way, through giving. But number two, is a cheerful giver gives out of, say it real loud, grace. Thank you. I want to give you another statement in your handout. You ready? It says, the spirit of giving should be the believer's natural response to the infinite grace bestowed upon him in Christ. That's the motivation Paul used. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 8. Take your Bible. This is the authority, not me. I am not the authority. This is. So go to 2 Corinthians 8. And everything we say, we want to be careful to back it up with Scripture. In context. All right, look at 2 Corinthians 8. What's the context? Verse 7, he said, I want you to abound in the grace of giving. Verse 8, he says, when you give, it proves the sincerity of your love. Verse 9, look what he says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, as we read that, I'm overwhelmed and I'm awestruck by the fact that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. He left the riches of heaven. He came to the earth and was poor. He did not have a home. He did not own anything. He was a poor man as far as earthly riches go. He left the glories of heaven. But even more than that, he allowed himself, he made himself, he humbled himself under the authority of the Father. And he humbled himself as a son to the Father when he came to this earth. Even though he was equal with God, he was God incarnate. He humbled himself, ultimately becoming obedient to the cross. He made himself a servant. Why would Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created the heavens and the earth, who everything revolves around him, he's the center of it all, why would he lay aside that glory, come to this earth, and do all that? For us. Right, he did it for us. He did it so that we could be rich. And that's not talking about, you know, being earthly rich. That's talking about the spiritual wealth that we now possess in Christ. If you'll look up at the screen, Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual, what? Blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know what? We may not have two nickels to rub together, but buddy, we are wealthy in Christ, aren't we? I mean, you may open up your checkbook. I know hardly anybody has a checkbook today, but you open up your checkbook and you look at that checkbook and you think, man, that's the most pitiful thing I've ever seen in my life. But aren't you glad we've got all the wealth that there is to have in Christ in heavenly places in Him? He's made us wealthy in Christ. He took paupers, sinners, alienated from the life of God. He took us headed for hell and He saved us. He redeemed us. He poured His grace into our life. And He made us spiritually rich. Look at verse 9 again. Look at how it starts. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, if you know His grace today, then you are not the same person that you once were. You are a new creature in Christ. Everything's changed. Now His grace abides in you. His grace abides in you. Look at chapter 9. Flip over to chapter 9. Look at verse 14. 9:14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God. And what's that last two words? In you. The grace of God is in you. Then he cries out, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You see, as we allow the grace of Christ to flow through us, giving becomes a supreme delight and a supreme joy. In 2 Corinthians 8, I know we're flipping back, 8 and 9, but let's go back to chapter 8 and look at verse 4. And this is interesting to me because in chapter 8, he's talking about the churches of Macedonia that had given sacrificially and they were in their own poverty. They had their own trials. Look at chapter 8, verse 4. Praying us, that means begging us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. You know what that means? It means that the churches of Macedonia were begging for the opportunity to give. They wanted to give above and beyond what was expected of them. The idea here is that Paul was reluctant. And Paul's like, man, you guys are going through your own trials. You're going through your own problems. Man, we don't expect you to give in this offering. And the Bible says they were praying us. They were begging us to take the gift. Please take our gift. Please take our offering. Please don't rob us of a blessing here, Paul. We want to give. He tells the Corinthians then, he says, look at the end of verse 7, chapter 8, verse 7. And what does he say at the end of that verse? See that ye abound in this grace also. You see, giving is a grace. What does that mean? In your handout, it says, it is the divine nature within us being reflected in our lives. Question. Can giving, and again, I'm not just talking about money, but just giving in general. When we give of ourself, or we give of our resources, can it become a duty that we do through the power of the flesh? Yes or no? Absolutely. God never meant it to be that way. He never meant it to be that way. Giving is a response to His amazing grace. And in your handout, it says that giving is the fruit. Write that in the blank. Giving is the fruit of His grace working in and through us. Christ saves us. We give our heart to the Lord. He comes to live inside of us. He lives in us. And as that divine nature then comes out of us, it's lived out in many different ways. You see, as His grace is in me and it's lived out, as that divine nature is expressed through me, it shows up in many different ways. It shows up as, man, I love my wife fervently. I love her with a fervent love. Why? His nature's being expressed through me. I love my children and I care for them. My faith is growing. I'm growing in holiness. I'm growing in virtue. It's that divine life being lived out through me. And giving is one of those graces or fruits. It's just a response to His grace. Sometimes people think, well, if I give, maybe I'll get God's grace. That's twisted thinking. Well, I got to give. I don't want to give, but I got to give, so maybe I'll get His grace in my life. No, if you're saved, you already have His grace. You already have His love. You already have God's acceptance in Christ. He's done all that for you in Christ already. No, I give because I'm so thankful for the grace. It's His grace working in and through me. I know what His grace has done in me. Where would I be? Where would you be without His grace? Where would you be? Where would your family be without His grace? If God wouldn't have done what He's done in your life, where would you be? And I know some of us are thinking, well, man, I tell you what, I struggle as it is. Can you imagine where you'd be if it wasn't for the grace of God? Can you imagine where you'd be? I know we're all a work in progress. None of us are where we want to be. But think of where we would be if it weren't for the grace of God. You see, the reason why we give is, we appreciate so much His grace and how it's changed our life. Man, we want other people to hear the message too. And that's why we would give to the Lord's work or to missions or to this or that. Why? We give to ministries. Why? Because we want other people to hear the message. Number three, the cheerful giver gives not only out of love and out of grace, but number three, out of a complete trust in Christ. You see, the Bible teaches everything in your life is to be done by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. So God wants everything we do to be done with a total dependence upon Him. When we're walking in our strength and power, we're walking in the flesh. When I'm walking in total dependence upon Christ, I'm walking in the Spirit. This means that everything in the Christian life is a spiritual issue. Everything's a spiritual issue. Many Christians compartmentalize their Christian life into spiritual and non-spiritual issues. And so we think, we get the idea, well, when I'm studying the Bible, or I'm praying, or I'm serving the Lord, or I'm going to church, or I'm going to a life group activity, man, I really need God. But when it comes to my job and my money and what I buy and my investments, these are my areas that I'm in charge of. So we don't acknowledge God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That means everything in our life, everything, is a spiritual issue. Why did these believers give so willingly and so joyfully? You remember what I read you? Go back to chapter 8, verse 5. That's the key to the whole thing. This is where we started. We've kind of made a big circle. But look at chapter 8, verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. In your handout, it says, they recognized God's ownership of everything they had, even themselves. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. They said, Lord, what's the old hymn we sing? I surrender all. And that's what they did. They said, Lord, I surrender all. Lord, everything I have is yours. My car is yours. My house is yours. My furniture is yours. My money is yours. Everything I have, God, including me, is yours. And in your handout, it says, as they walked in total faith and surrender to Christ, giving was simply a fruit of that. It was just a fruit. Would you define yourself as a cheerful, merry, hilarious giver? Wouldn't it be something if during offering time, just laughter started breaking out all over the room? I'm getting to give. You know, hilarious. That word gets me tickled. Hilarious, you know. But you know what? You think about this. Did Christ give his life on the cross for us because he had to or because he wanted to? He said, I lay down my life of myself. No man takes it from me. They couldn't take my life unless I gave it, he said. The Roman soldiers, the Jews, could not take his life. He had to give it. And the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You see, the cross was something that he joyfully, willingly chose to do. And that's the idea of when his spirit's working in me, that's the way I look at it. It's a joy. It's something I get to do. Now, maybe your perspective has changed today after seeing God's word. And you know, sometimes people will say, you know, Pastor Dan, I do tend to be self-centered. And there's times when we just kind of need to just take the proverbial, you know, shot between the eyes and say, yeah, you know, I struggle with self-centeredness. I struggle with selfishness. I struggle with greed. I struggle with covetousness, wanting more for me. I struggle with being greedy, always wanting more for me. Pastor Dan, how do I overcome that? How do I overcome that? And my advice to you is this: deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because as you grow in your relationship with him, giving will just become a very natural, normal part of your life. If somebody came up to me and said, boy, you sure do love your wife, Pastor Dan. What if I was to look at them and say, yeah, and I'll tell you why, because I'm afraid she's going to hit me over the head with a frying pan if I don't. I'm afraid of her. You know, that's why I love her. I'm afraid she's going to hurt me if I don't. You know, you'd be like, whoa, that's kind of weird. Man, there's no basis of a relationship there. Well, I mean, it's the same thing as, why do you give to the Lord? Well, because I'm afraid if I don't, God's going to hit me over the head with a frying pan. No. No, you realize all he's done in your life. And that giving spirit then just flows out. It's natural. It's normal. And when that begins to happen in your handout at the very bottom, it says it is then, when that Spirit of Christ flows through you, it's then that you will see God flow through you in incredible and amazing ways as the grace of giving abounds in you.